And it does take a personal experience and personal exercise to be in the good of what we read here in Romans chapter 6. Brother Mark mentioned earlier the beginning and the end of the epistle to the Romans. By the way, for the younger ones, the epistle to the Romans were not the first epistle that is written historically. But by a great wisdom of the Spirit of God, it was put immediately after the book of Acts. Why? Because it puts us on the very good first fundamental steps on to understand the righteousness of God. And the demands and the great measure of the righteousness of God and how it could be established. It's you know the difference between religions around is every single religion says that there is a hope in you, you can do it. Christianity, which is not a religion, by the way, it's a relationship with the Lord, with a living, glorified one that is the Lord Jesus, tells you that you are dead in sin and trespasses. And you need something that you cannot do by yourself. You need to meet the righteousness of God and the demands of the righteousness of God. And no one is qualified. All have sinned. That's in the book of Romans. Came short of the glory of God. That's 100% of us. And how can that be corrected? Being justified? How? Does somebody know?
By faith.
The faith that brings, this is the only currency that God accepts. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that brings you in that realm where Christ is centered. And then when you realize that the righteousness of God had so high demands, you realize that only the Lord Jesus fulfilled it. But that's the wonderful example that left us his footsteps to follow after. The obedience of the Christ is something that starts with obeying, as Romans 6:17 here says, the form of the teachings. I would like to challenge all of us today. Unless you know the teachings of the righteousness of God in the epistle to the Romans, you're not going to be able to understand, you're not going to be able to live in the good of it, because you don't understand it, you didn't read it. I don't want to ask for hands, but I would like to challenge all of us. How many of us read the book of Romans in the past 2 or 3 months? How many of us that study the epistle to the Romans in the past year? Beloved brethren, this is the teachings. And the apostle is instructing and encouraging those that are in Rome that they are following not just the teaching, but the form of teachings. So that means it's every dot, every expression. Brother Joe was bringing original manuscripts and texts, and in the Greek, it's like, how many of us are doing this? Young people, don't waste your youth and your brain cells on things that would bring thoughts that stands and lift itself up against the knowledge of God. Let's use our brain cells to bring and all thoughts captive unto the obedience of Christ.
It says twice in Romans that you may be established, chapter 1 and chapter 16. So it says that at the beginning, it says at the end, the book of Romans is written that we might be established. So how good to read Romans, because that's where you get established. Yeah.
And if I'm established in that form of teaching, I would enjoy that title of being a bond man of obedience unto Christ. Then thoughts that comes to me that are Christ-based will be wonderful. And thoughts that comes from the enemy, I do have a base, readiness, foundation that can stand and say, oh no, this is wrong. This is against the scripture. This does not sound right. Well, I can find many scriptures that says, well, this is not in the right mainstream. So it's an encouragement for all of us. If we leave the conference with just one thought that we are to work on our obedience to the Lord, work on our obedience to the Word of God, that will be enough to take us through the journey. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, the wicked Ammonite king named Nahash His name means the serpent or the snake. He came against a village called Jabesh, Gilead. Jabesh means dry or the dryness. Gilead means testimony. Eventually, the names in the scriptures are wonderful and mean something. This is a village where the testimony of God was dry. It was not really, they were not where the running water is going. So he comes against them and they go beg him to be enslaved to him. So he said, well, cut a covenant. Give us a covenant that we will be serving you. And you know, he's suggesting that I will give you this covenant by plucking out all the right eyes. Well, and make you ashamed, make you something that people would laugh at you. But it's not just laughing at them. Remember when in the past, usually they carry the sword with the right hand, they carry the shield with the left hand. If the right eye is plucked out and the shield is covered in the left eye, they go to the battle absolutely blind. The sword would be helpless. The shield will be helpless, and there will be a good aim of that enemy that is wicked, that is subtle, as we heard, to attack and make take them around and make them really a joke among the nations. So trust the Lord that we are not following after this Jabesh Gilead village, or keeping, we all have Bibles. Some of us have two or three or maybe more than that in our homes. Is it collecting dust? Or are we making good use of it? Use your smartphone. That's when it's really smart.
Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. I believe it's a great verse for us to use to evaluate ourselves and look into our lives, and nobody knows ourselves more than ourselves. And ask ourselves the question. It says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So it's very important that we know who we serve or who is our master. And you know, it's wonderful when we know who is in charge of our lives, who cares about us. And it's also important for us to know really who we serve. We normally sing, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And it's wonderful to know that he's here, and he's here even among us today.
So our time's about up. A final question is, when shall our obedience have been fulfilled? Paul says this in that verse 6. Fulfilled is something that's brought to a conclusion, which brought to its final aspect. It's wonderful. What's the end of our obedience to the Word of God? Isn't it when we are all gathered around Himself in the glory, when that obedience shall have been fulfilled? And we'll all know and understand perfectly well, even though there were challenges along the road and difficulties, it was worth it all. Obeying Him is worth it all. The Scripture says that he that believes on Him shall not be disappointed. We shall not be disappointed at the end of it all.